chanted
Kapisha,
Kapisha,
Ram,
Ram,
Kesha,
Kesha,
Afed, Bhuri Varaha,
Bhuri Varaha,
possessing
great abundance,
Avadhutaha,
Avadhutaha,
neglected,
Malina,
Malina,
Dirty,
Nijashariyena,
Nijashariyena,
Bhari, Grahagrihitaha,
Grahagrihitaha,
Jiva has it. Adrishyata.
Adrishyata.
He appeared.
He appeared.
Translation number 4 by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Vishnudeva's hands, feet, and chest were very long. His shoulders, face, limbs were all very delicate and symmetrically proportioned. His mouth was beautifully decorated with his natural smile, and he appeared all the more lovely with his reddish eyes spread wide like petals of a newly grown lotus flower covered with the dew in the early morning. The irises of his eyes were so pleasing that they removed all the troubles of everyone who saw him. His forehead, ears, neck, nose, and all his other features were very beautiful. His gentle smile always made his face beautiful, so much so that he even attracted the hearts of married women. It was as though they had been pierced by arrows of Cupid. About his head was an abundance of curly, matted brown hair. His hair was disheveled because of his body, because his body was dirty and not taken care of. He appeared as if he were haunted by a ghost. Purport. Although Lord Vishnudeva's body was very much neglected, his transcendental features were so attractive that even married women were attracted to him. His beauty and dirtiness combined to make his beautiful body appear as though it were haunted by a ghost. His nature, And also to understand that the body of Lord Vishnudev is not material. So let us hear from the previous chapter how the body of Vishnudev was described. And this chapter we see the whole different transformation. But still, the externals doesn't change the purity, pavitram, that doesn't change. So, let's look at the previous chapter, first verse 5.4.1. This is when Lord Vishnu is appearing. He manifested the symptoms of the Supreme Lord, such as marks on the bottom of his feet, the flag, thunderbolt, etc. Vishnudev was very peaceful. He could control his senses, his mind, possessing all opulence. So, Prabhupada writes that right from the beginning of his birth, Vishnudev's feet were marked with transcendental signs, the flag, thunderbolt, lotus flower, etc. In addition to this, the Lord began to grow. He became very prominent. As the Lord began to grow, he became very prominent. An incarnation of God must have the six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. So here, through Prabhupada's purpose, we are seeing the opulence of Lord Vishnudev, how he is exhibiting the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a portion. Describes that Vishnudev had all good qualities and he is being praised by great poets. He's got a well-built body with all the symptoms of Godhead, strength, beauty, name, influence, and enthusiasm. Because of these qualities, he was given the name Rishabha. Prabhupada writes that Lord Sakshaman as God or as an incarnation of God, one must observe the symptoms of God in his body. All the symptoms are found in the body of Maharaj Nabi's extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured and he displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence and he controlled his mind and senses. Consequently, he was named Rishabha, which indicates that he was the supreme living being. So, next set of verses where Vishnudev will describe himself, and he also disclosed what is in his heart, what is his, as we call, soft nature, what is inside him, how he manifested those soft qualities by producing 100 children. So this is from this chapter, 5.5.19. My transcendental body looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. So here the heart portion is coming. My heart is also spiritual and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart have I abandoned pure religion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appear to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabhadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities. So it's praised by the poets, and now he's taken on the throne and he is ruling over the citizens. And one of the pastimes we saw in the previous chapter that by his own potency he was able to supply rain to his citizens. Such was the power of Lord Rishabhadeva. We saw how Lord Indra was envious and he stopped giving rain. Rishabhadeva gave a smile and he, by his own potency, made sure that the citizens don't suffer and he made sure that the rains are there. And he's being praised by the poets and he's in a big assembly and he's instructing his sons. Now the time has come for him to teach the lesson to his sons and also teach the lesson to the renunciants as to how they should live their life. Plus, it's time for him to exhibit the opulence of renunciation. You see the contrast here, the way he is being treated now at this stage in the chapter is extremely bad. He is neglected to take care of his body and he is leaving his home, but he as normally I would expect that this is a person, a supreme person who gave rain at some stage and made sure that the citizens are taken care, but what sort of treatment he is getting? In one sense, I felt that it is also the way the Lord draws a particular kind of emotion, a mixed feeling of sadness, an emotion that you feel like, why should the Lord have to undergo all this? He draws a particular kind of emotion, the same emotion you feel when Lord Ram, just when he is about to get coronated, he said, no, tomorrow onwards, your field of activity is not the kingdom, you have to go to the, you're not the king, your role is changed, you have to be like a mendicant and go to the forest and spend the next 14 years there. So, the whole transformation, the expectation the citizens had, and this whole transformation in that one single night, and that brought about a great deal of sorrow in the heart of the citizens. But here in the case of Rishabhadeva, the citizens don't seem to be feeling that here is a person who once took care of us, who defied Lord Indra and brought rain and sustained us, but the treatment that is being given to him is extremely bad. But does that affect the Lord? No, he is exhibiting the quality of detachment. Previous verse talks about how he is totally detached from the body. He was never saddened due to being insulted in many ways, described above. People threw stones, stool, dust, past hair, bad names, great deal of trouble. He clearly understood that he is separate from the body. Matter and spirit are separate and he had no bodily conception. And thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world alone. This, I feel, is one of the beauty of the Lord. If one should dwell in the topic of the beauty of the Lord, what is inside the heart, as I said, is disclosing here. What is inside his heart is Dharma. What is inside his heart is Bhakti. What is inside his heart is the love that he has for his devotees. Idam shariyam amadurvi bhavyam sattvam hime hridayam yatra dharma rishte kito meya adharma mara ato hima vishram prahu aryaha. So, Prabhupada in that Thakur writes, how living entities have the conception that the material body is made up of the five elements and body is the self. They cannot perceive of a person with a pure spiritual body being amongst them, and therefore they don't know the value. Within the material body is a spirit soul, but we cannot see with material eyes. So therefore, when we see a body full of spiritual energy, Prabhupada writes, it's very difficult for us to understand how a spiritual energy can have a body. So this is very difficult for a materialistic person to understand, and therefore they disrespect Vishuddhi. So, by the inconceivable energy of the Lord can appear before us in His original spiritual body. But because we have no experience of the spiritual body, we are sometimes bewildered and see the form of the Lord as material. And Krishna describes this in the Bhagavad Gita as well, that fools deride me. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. So, here we can understand how the conception of considering the Lord's body to be material and considering Him as one more, yet another human being. Because he is taking birth, he must be human. Because he is walking amongst us like yet another human, his body also must be material. So such conceptions are foolish. And such fools do not know the transcendental nature of the Lord. Covered by such ignorance, they mistreat the Lord. Now, what is the response that's coming from the Lord based on such treatment? I got reminded of these verses in the Gita. Na prakshet priyam prapya, na vijet prapya cha priyam. Priyam apriyam. Priyam was shown in the previous chapter, where poets are praising, father is praising, the assembly of the devotees, his sons and brahmanas, they are all praising him. Apriya is shown in this chapter. Person who is worthy of respect and who should be guarded, that he is given stone, stool, dust, foul hair, bad names. One who is supposed to be glorified. This is all Apriya. But what is Lord Vishuddhadeva exhibiting? Spira Buddhir Asam Mulo. And he is not dependent on Bhari Svashesh Ashakta Atma Vindati Atmani. He is not depending on something external to please him. As it said in the previous verse, he is situated on the spiritual platform. In one of the purports in the previous verse, Prabhupada writes, what is the heart of the Lord, this dharma, this love, bhakti, and that is what is manifested as the 100 sons. Although sons are born to the discharge of Shiva and Prabhupada writes, the consciousness determines the quality of sons. So Rishabh is not only saying that I have love for my yogis, bhakti is my heart, dharma is my heart, he is proving, producing sons of the caliber of Bharat, Maharaj and the rest of the exalted devotees who took up Vinod's order or the order of married life. So that shows what is the heart of the Lord. My dear boys, we are all born of my heart, which is the seat of all spiritual qualities. So Prabhupada writes that in the purport of 5.5.20, Rishabhdev's heart was always uncontaminated and spiritual. Consequently, all the sons born from the heart of Rishabhdev are spiritually inclined. Not they're mentally inclined, they're spiritually inclined. So, you can understand the quality of what is inside is manifested outside through spiritually inclined sons. Hearing from Rishabhdev's own words, I am fully opulent, almighty and superior to Lord Brahma and Indra, the king of heavenly planets. I am also the bestower of all the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom. So he is a person of such a caliber and he is declaring it to his own sons. So we saw the inside beauty, the heart of Lord Rishabhdev, described by himself, described by others. And we also saw some of the features of Lord Rishabhdev exhibiting the symptoms of Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the saying, the beauty is not just about the skin, it's not just skin deep. Real beauty is in the heart of the person. With this, I got inspired by this particular concept Prabhupada writes about beauty and the heart. With that viewpoint of understanding the heart of the Lord, looking at the beauty of the Lord, I started looking at Lord Krishna's inner beauty, which comes out in various verses in Bhagavad Gita. This is based on my limited understanding. The heart of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the compassion of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord that's coming out in the Gita verses. So, I thought I can share some of those which appeal to me. It starts off with the second chapter where Arjuna reveals his heart, Krishna also immediately chastises him and reveals his tough love. He speaks like a learned man. What is the verse? Asocha, Anusocha, Prajna Vahasa Vasa. That's tough love. Why should living entities suffer in this material world due to bodily consumption? So that's the first thing to be taken up. So that's love. Then, as described later on, this the science of the soul, that's Krishna. And that's what is being taught in the being. The difference between body and the soul is eternal. Fireproof, waterproof, windproof. The quality is all described, so it sets the foundation on which later on the living entities can express their true love to the Lord first by understanding who they are. So this is also a sign of love of the Lord to enlighten the living entities with proper knowledge. And in many instances, Krishna will address Arjuna as my friend. One who has done good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. That particular line, if you read when you are going through a tough situation, you will understand the love of Lord Krishna through those words. It's as if Krishna is standing next to you and putting his hand on your shoulder and saying that you're so down in your life, you're faced with so many reversals. At that time, when you look at these words, one who has done good, my friend, he says, Tata, is never overcome by evil. This, I felt, is a sign of love and showing the beauty of the heart of the Lord. Because you are not envious of me, I am revealing this supreme secret to you just here. Later on, Lord reveals further in the middle sixth chapter, one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or water with love and devotion. Here Krishna is giving out the recipe or the steps by which you can access Him. I will accept it, Ashnami. And that's the sign of love. That's how the Lord is revealing what's inside his heart. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad, any man, poor, even a poor man can get a leaf and some water, and with love and devotion he can offer. The process is open to all. The heart of the Lord is further enhanced when we hear it through Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Krishna says, I accept it, Ashnami. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do that as an offering unto me. And another set of verses, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. Here again, is revealing who he is. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion, the key principle of devotion, is a friend, again, is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. What is such a friend? That's something really extremely bad, extremely abominable. Krishna gives appreciate Sudurachara. Again, he's revealing the heart that his heart, even if a devotee commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged and fixed in devotional service, Sahureva Satmantavyaha, he is to be considered saintly. And what does Krishna do? He makes such his friend who is going on the wrong track, he brings him back and he assures he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. And here is the declaration. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Again, the heart of the Lord, the love of the Lord, he is asking, I may break my promise, O son of Kunti, you declare. So this is the beauty of the Lord. He doesn't discriminate who takes shelter of him, whether they be of low birth, shudras, everyone in Kali Yuga is shudra, women, vaishyas, they all can attain what? Paramapati, just by taking shelter of him. He is leaving the process. Always think of me, engage your mind, thinking of me, become my devotee. He is leaving the whole process of love. Why? And he says, I pick up my devotees from the vritti samsara saga. And he declares that he is the source of all the material and spiritual goals. Everything emanates from him. So the living entity is in the spiritual world for eternally liberated, and all the expansions of the world, they are all coming from him. So those who are constantly devoted to serving him, Krishna says, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. Dadami buddhi yoga. And I, he takes first, he, it's some other way that Krishna can't do his test. He says, I will do this. I dwelling in their heart will destroy the ignorance of the shining lamp of knowledge. I will pick them up from the, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. And later on in 12th chapter, he gives different options. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do that, also do the next one. It's like more and more and more compassion and love pouring out of the heart of the Lord. Just be fixed on my pure devotion. If you can't do that, follow the regular principles of bhakti. If you can't do that, then try to act giving up all the results of your work and be self-situated. If you cannot take to that practice, take to the engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Sorry, sir, I can't do that. Okay. Meditate. Sorry, can't do that. At least give some charity. Why such love? Because 15th chapter he says that you are all my part and parcels. My answer. That's the Lord's heart. He considers the living entity as his own fragmental parts. And that's where our self-worth should come from, our real identity. When we don't know, when we think that some circumstances we think nobody takes care of me, nobody loves me, the Lord reveals that you are my eternal fragmental part. And why are you struggling? It's because of your conditioned nature. And I am giving you the sword of knowledge to cut through that conditioning and come out. That keep transmission of knowledge, I felt, is a sign of love, and shows the beauty of the Lord, and it shows how his heart is. And within this material world again, he gives moonlight to give and juice to the vegetables, he gives sunlight by which the grains are there, and when you want to eat inside your body, he is there as the fire to digest it. And he gives you the remembrance and knowledge. Mahatta Smriti Jnana Apobhanamsa. I am seated in everyone's heart. I give you the knowledge. I give you remembrance. And with that consciousness, one is able to act. Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. Later, Krishna again reveals his heart by saying, because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking. speaking to you my instruction. Please hear, and it's for your own benefit. Then the famous verses, the epitome of love, that he tells this after having described all the parts. He says, out of love, abandon all these parts and just surrender unto me. That's the sign of the inner beauty of God. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. That is the inner beauty of God. The heart is coming out, the 18th chapter. And he says, whoever explains the supreme secret to the devotees, for them pure devotional service is guaranteed. And there is no servant in this world dear to me than he. Nor will there be one more dear. And that's why God is taking the pain to get the mercy of the Lord, going out in various difficult situations, to give the mercy out to the Lord, to become very dear to the Lord. Because he is revealing so much and he is extending himself so much. And finally, these answers understand that one, if he is not able to do any of this, simply by studying the sacred conversation, we can worship that all-loving Lord through our intelligence. One who studies the sacred conversation worships the Lord through intelligence. And towards the end, out of love again, he asks Arjuna, have you heard this with attention? Is your doubts clear? As a compassionate and loving father and a teacher and a well-wisher, he is asking, have you heard this with an attentive mind? All your ignorance, is it dispelled? Is all your illusions gone? And Arjuna gives a fitting reply, Nashto moha smriti lakva tvat prasada prasadam. That prasada is coming through all the chapters. He has received it. Bhokta, Gopal, Anandana is like a calf, he has drunk all that. And he is now saying that as a cow and a calf, you see that interaction. Now Arjuna, the same Arjuna who put his bow and arrow down in the earlier chapters, the beginning of the second chapters, Govinda, I shall not fight, but hearing the message of Krishna through the heart of Krishna to the mouth, and his love transforms him to the point where my ignorance is dispelled. Now I will do what you say. Karishye Vachanam Tava. So Arjuna is willing to reciprocate with his Shuddham. Not only Arjuna is trying to declare that he is a Shuddham, Sarva Bhutama, he is a well-wisher friend. So he is willing to reciprocate with the Lord, understanding the heart of the Lord, and then seeing the beauty of the Lord in front of him. So by going through these verses, we have also established the person of the living entity, what covers the living entity, what is the Lord's position, and how he is the source of all material and spiritual world, which means all living entities in the material and the spiritual world are his eternal fragmental parts, and he is the supreme enjoyer of all living entities. And he exchanges love with all living beings. And he shows how much he loves his devotees. There are a few verses in the Bhagavatam also where the Lord reveals his heart. What is in his heart? Does anyone know any verses where what is in his heart? Bhagavatam verses. Sorry? Aham Bhakta Pradhinam. Again, in the Bhagavatam also we see the Lord revealing what is in his heart. The beauty. Aham Bhakta Pradhinam. He Aswatantra. He said to be Lord is independent. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that's how it begins. But he says, I am not independent. Aham Bhakta Pradhinam. He Aswatantra. He was with it. Sadhu Grasta Hrudayo. So, sadhus are in my heart. And they keep me in their heart. And even the devotees of the devotees are dear to me. And that is why we have hope by becoming the devotees of the devotees of the devotees of the Lord. Sadhus cannot think of anyone else, and I cannot think of anything else. So, you've seen the inner beauty of the Lord. Now you look at the, there's nothing inside and outside for the Lord, but for our discussion, you see the external beauty of the Lord. It's always inside. With specific focus, we will try to focus on the beauty of the Lord, the different limbs, as described in the 10th canto. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned living beings. Nivritta kashe upadiyamana Baba Aushara Shokra Mano Virama Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanuvada Puman Virajeta Vyam Prashutma. So the next part of the discussion I thought will focus on taking those medicine from different parts of Bhagavatam. The medicine, the sweet medicine from different sections of Bhagavatam which describe the beauty of the Lord. As is described in this particular verse about how Lord Rishabhadeva's hands, feet, chest were very long, his shoulders, face, limbs were all very delicate, his mouth was beautifully decorated with a natural smile, and he appeared more lovely with the reddish eyes. So one point that struck me in while reading this particular verse and the purport is that the fact that Lord is a person and he is all loving and all beautiful, and every detail of his body, limb, up to the point of iris. So the process is so personal, and it takes you to such a close proximity to the Lord that you can take a drink, darshan of the Lord through your eyes, up to the point of seeing from the feet of the Lord, slowly progressing all the way up to calf muscles, then to the navel, then to the chest, then to the shoulders, then his arms, his neck, his lovely face, eyes, up to the point of the color of the iris in his eyes, which means you are seeing him face to face. It is such close proximity. So that's why it's good to have eye contact when we talk to you. So when you're talking to somebody, when you can see the color of the eye of the other person, means you have such proximity with them. So the process promises you such proximity. So that's the first point that struck me in reading this particular verse. Well, the irises of his eyes were so pleasing that they removed all the troubles of everyone. Baba Aushada, who saw him, his forehead, ears, neck, nose, and all his other features were very beautiful. His gentle smile made his face beautiful, so much so that he even attracted the hearts of married women. So, inspired by these descriptions, so I found a few verses from the Bhagavatam and also thanks to the devotees of the Golden Eagle Village. They put this nice study guide, Subodhini, from which we are able to dive deep. And for your information, that Subodhini, first candle, second candle are available in Kindle as well. Now, going through some of the verses from the first canto, describing the beauty of the Lord. This is the scene where Lord Krishna is entering Dwarka, and the queens are there to welcome him and see him after time of separation. The heart of the Lord, as we saw, was with his devotees, so he was spending time with the same family who considered him to be Sadatya Parshara Sevana Sakya Dautya, so who considered him to be their friend, as their messenger, as a well-wisher. He is now, having spent time with them, he is now coming back to spend time with those who are in Dwarka. It's very descriptive verse and a very nice purport. 1:11:26. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. This is described as Panapatram, drinking pot. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. Shriyo Nivaso Yashura Panapatram Mukham Dushan Baho Lota Palana Sarangana Padam. Prabhupada expands on this and is given all of the purpose of extraordinary. So, you can see, to see the Lord, we need Prabhupada's purpose. We can see through those purposes. Chakshudan, Jiloje, Janme, Janme, Prabhupada. Now, the Lord is described as a person in the spiritual world where he is surrounded by goddess of fortune, and he has many such goddess of fortune who are serving him. Now, how can living entities in the material world have access to such an exalted person sitting in a Vaikuntha, which is also far away? How can we get his mercy? And that is possible just by looking at him, by taking darshan of him. When we take darshan of the Lord, what happens? A person who has got a lot of material desires, they want to get the favor of the goddess of fortune. But the point to be noted in the purport is that these goddesses of fortune can be seen automatically if we are attracted by the bodily features of the Lord. Bhagavad-gītā ende yatra yogeshvara krishna yatra pātva dhanatara tatra śrī. One who is after śrī, he must get attracted to the bodily features of the Lord so that he can see the Lord and his consorts, the goddess of fortune, can be seen automatically if we are attracted to the bodily features of the Lord. And those who are artists overcame by the beautiful creation should better see the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. The face of the Lord is the embodiment of beauty. What they call beautiful nature is but a smile, and what they call sweet songs of the birds are but specimens of the whispering voice of the Lord. So here, Sukha Mukha Anantara, so through Prabhupada Mukha, through his purpose here, releasing the beauty of the Lord. Okay, I'm getting wealth, what about protection? That's also taken care of. The arms of the Lord give you the protection. Demigods are afraid, but they take shelter of the Lord, his arms give you protection. So you're getting wealth, you're getting protection. Now what is the faithful servant of the Lord? What are they after? Sarangama Padam Bhujam. So Prabhupada explains the word Sara. The essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Sara. So he establishes what Sara means. So the Lord is the Vastu, substance, the Sara, the essence. And those who sing and talk about him are called as Sarangas, or the pure devotees. And what are they after? They are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. And what is in the lotus? The lotus has got a honey. So the beauty of the Lord and the beauty of the devotees, beauty of the heart of the Lord, beauty of the heart of the devotees, all is revealed in this purport. The lotus has got a kind of honey which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. So devotees, if the Lord is the lotus, what the devotees call as the bees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. Sarangam Padamujam. So next paragraph is Prabhupada is going to quote Srila Rupa Goswami, his praise. Srila Rupa Goswami, the great devotee acharya of the Gauri Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to be a bee. So this paragraph is the prayer of Srila Rupa Goswami. O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like a bee, and it is after some honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet. Even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together, so that the rarity of getting the Lord's darshan is described here. Despite the rarity, Rupa Goswami doesn't give up. Still, he says, still, O infallible one, my ambition is such that you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. So the mercy aspect of the Lord, he is powerful, he is the controller of all the demigods, but he is still merciful to the surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. You should know who is talking and what is he telling. Srila Rupa Goswami, a person of such a high caliber, he is saying, I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. So, the inner beauty, the inner heart of the devotee is also getting revealed here. And as a side point, I want to mention that when dealing with devotees of different caliber or different stages in the devotional life, one should ignore the physical, supposedly physical handicaps or disformed body. One shouldn't see the devotees of the Lord also with an external vision. That was the side point I wanted to mention. So that respect to the devotees, because here we see Rishabh Dev being externally he looks ugly. Similarly, devotees of high caliber sometimes look or behave like that. One should be very careful to respect the devotees. Only by respecting the devotees, I'm talking to myself, I'm preaching myself, one will be able to appreciate the beauty of the Lord, because the devotees are sitting, they are sitting at the feet of the Lord. So if you are against the devotees, you are not able to respect and appreciate devotees at different levels, so then you can't appreciate the beauty of the Lord. So coming back to this prayer, O Madhava, I also know that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. But because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can be like even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom. And therefore, I am very much attracted to them. O Supreme, Eternal, please, therefore, let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet. O Supreme, Eternal, please, therefore, let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service. So that ends Rupa Goswami's prayers. While we are in the topic of Rupa Goswami glorifying the Lord, just by paying repeated respectful obeisances to the six Goswamis in Vrindavan, to the Acharyas, to the Guru Parampara, to Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master, all the obstacles in the spiritual life becomes removed and all spiritual desires are fulfilled. So this is based on Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who has written I saw a small quote, I couldn't find the reference, but the essence is, by offering respectful obeisances, heartfelt respectful obeisances. That's why in the Guru Vandana he said, Bandhomuni Savadana, heartfelt respectful obeisances, repeated heartfelt respectful obeisances to the six Goswamis, to the Vaishnava Acharyas, to Prabhupada and spiritual master. By doing that, all the obstacles in devotional life is removed and all spiritual desires will be fulfilled. I was looking for quotes or verses from the scripture with a specific focus on removing sins and fulfilling desires. Fulfillment desire, what are the verses that I can chant? Because of conditioning of karma kanda mentality, what I do is, I get this. I will chant this prayer, I will get this. So, by doing this act of offering respectful obeisances to the Goswamis and the Acharyas, all the spiritual desires will be fulfilled and all the obstacles will be removed. Such is the nature of the devotees and their potency. And they are situated under the feet of the Lord, and they have no ambition to see His all beautiful face, because the devotees are satisfied. I'm reading from the purport. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, and they have no ambition to see His all beautiful face. It's quite strange. Although the whole description of the face is given here in purport, we see they are satisfied on the feet of the Lord. They don't even aspire to see the face of the Lord, but aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. Here is the punchline of Prabhupada. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. So picture this. If you are at the feet of somebody, and he is leaning towards you, you don't have any desire to see his face, because he is leaning towards you, naturally his face will be visible. They are humble by nature. The Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees. So, being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, what does this remind you of? Any of the Guru's prayers? Does it remind you of being situated on the lotus feet of the Lord? Something like the same day in and day out. Being situated in the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord is called as Vishnu. Vishnu, what is feet called as? Pada, also right? So Vishnu, Pada. Does it ring a bell? So, just by saying that prayer, we can attract the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord, Vishnu, Pada, and they have no ambition to see the beautiful face. So, couldn't stop but dwell on the greatness of Srila Prabhupada, His qualities through which we are able to appreciate the beauty of the Lord. And He doesn't consider Himself as Saranga, but we are sure that He is one of the Sarangas who are sitting at the feet of the Lord. Saranga Nam Padam Pujam. In 1133, purport. Prabhupada describes the point about how living entities are by constitution feminine by nature. All living entities, whether in the body of a male or a female, the living entities are by constitution feminine. The male or angel is the Lord, and all manifestations of his different potencies are feminine by nature. So here we see Rishabhadev's beauty attracting the heart of whom? Married women. They are being pierced by arrows of the cupid. So is it immoral? As per the tattva, if we see, all living beings are feminine by nature. The Lord is only enjoyer, he is the proprietor, and we saw everybody is his expansion. So it is natural for a living entity to get attracted to the Lord. So such attraction, although from a social point of view, is considered immoral, but it is natural for the living entity. The supreme enjoyer is the Lord Himself. So this particular verse 11:33 describes the chest of the Lord. It just covered the feet. Although Lord Krishna was constantly by their sides as well as exclusively alone, His feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. The goddess of fortune, although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's feet. So what women can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them? Chanchala. So Nava Nava Rasa, we hear this prayer by things making Kulasheta. I'm not sure. Yadavari Mahacheta Krishna Padavari, the Nava Nava Rasa, he derives newer and newer taste. Yamanachari. Yadavari Mahacheta Krishna Padavari, the Nava Nava Rasa, here we see that word Nava Nava, newer and newer. It is experienced by whom? By the goddess of fortune. What is their situation? They are alone with the Lord. And still, for them, the feet of the Lord appears navam, navam, newer and newer. And that is how the Lord attracts the goddess of fortune. And we need to learn a lesson, and we need to pray to the goddess of fortune to give us that mood by which they see the Lord newer and newer every day. As we saw earlier, that to get the mercy of the Lord, we need to see Him and get attracted to His bodily features. In the material world, it is possible by the mercy of Guru through the form of the deity. So the deity form is there, and over a period we are able to come and take darshan. We may become, unfortunately, very familiar with the deities. Oh, we have been seeing them for this outfit, I know, yeah. This dress, yes. So we should pray that the internal potency of the Lord as how they are seeing the Lord alone in a place, and the feet of the Lord appears newer and newer to them. So we should pray the internal potency to help us overcome that familiarity with the Lord, with the deities. Again, Lord himself, teaching himself. Due to this newer and newer feature of the Lord's feet, the goddess of fortune never leaves them. This beautiful feature of the Lord does He display only to devotees his consorts and his close associates. It is described even to the demons, even to the soldiers who are fighting against him, they appreciated the beauty of the Lord. Even when they are giving Tataiva Chanye Naraloka Vida, Naraloka Vida. So these soldiers who are fighting against the Lord in the opposite side, they, in one sense, they have the good fortune to see the beauty of the Lord, Partha Sarathi, with him being the servant of Arjuna, that beautiful form of the Lord coming in front. And as and when they are absorbed in seeing the beauty of the Lord, Vishnudeva describes that the glance of the Lord diminished the lives of the soldiers. Which means the gap between the living entity reaching him is reduced, which means again it's a form of love of the Lord. You're coming to fight against me? No problem. Here is my beautiful body, glance at it. It's not that he withdraws the beauty when he goes to the palace of the Kauravas, or when he is in the battlefield, you only see a gory form of the Lord in like hollow. The same Parthasarathi form with the sweat and tinged with the blood which is shot by comes out from the arrow of Bhishma. Bhishma is appreciating. I appreciate the beauty of the Lord. The soldiers were getting killed as in they're absorbing the beauty of the Lord. The Parthasar Puta Paramatvarsha, as they are hit by the arrows of Arjuna, Parthasar, they see the beauty of the Lord and they leave the body. Taking in the beauty of the Lord. So where do they go? Krishna describes. One thinks of me, it is the body. One may say there is a whole massacre. But one, if you analyze deeply, is again the mercy of the Lord through his glance, which reduces the lifespan of the living entity which is suffering. He shortened the lifespan of the opposite party by his merciful glance. This was done simply by his looking at the enemy. Let my mind be fixed upon that Krishna. This is 1935. Those who want to read further. 1940, Vishnudeva describes, let my mind be fixed upon Lord Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of the Vrajadama, the gopis. The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after his disappearance from the rasa dance. So the smile of the Lord attracting everyone. He doesn't discriminate, he doesn't discriminate, and that's another beauty of the Lord, is that even a person is coming with an ill intention to kill Krishna in various forms, even to them the beauty is displayed. Stanthal Kuta. Covered with poison. Ahovatiyam sankhala kutham. Jighamsaya apashaya api asadhi. Leve gati dhatri uchitam tadognyam. Who is that merciful Lord? Kamva dayarum sharanam pradeham. I take shelter of that Lord. Again, the beauty, external beauty, inside beauty. You come to kill me. No problem, please, you are coming with an intention to serve me. You are offering your breast milk to me. I take the essence and I MDP promotion to Dhatri, which is one. So such is the beauty of the Lord. He doesn't withhold His beauty and He is dealing with demons. The glance of the Lord soothes and it takes away the threefold miseries, and the glance is accompanied by a loving smile and is full of grace. And this is what the yogi is supposed to meditate. In the Kapiladeva section, the third canto, the limb by limb meditation which the yogi has to do, first starting with the feet, as I described. Feet meditation verse in Prabhupada. Sanchintaye Parvatas Charanarvindam. So you begin meditating Sanchintaye Parvatas Charanarvindam Vajja Hamusa. So the feet, as we saw, the feet of Rishabdev, feet of Lord Krishna, they're all marked with special signs. Vajja Hamusa Vajja Sarovagalasanadhyam Uttunga Rakta Vilasan. So the red, the feet is reddish, then the toenails are described, Naka Chakra Bhava, Joshnadri. So, doing that, your heart's darkness goes away. Then, as the yogi progresses and glances towards the different bodily features, the eyes of the Lord are described. Akshno, from his eyes, snigdha, smita, as described in this particular verse. Smita. Snigdha, smitambhumitam, vipula, prasadam, full of grace. One has to meditate, dhyayet, chiram, vipula, bhavanaya, guhayam. So the yogi should contemplate with full devotion on what? On the compassionate glances coming from the Lord. And what does it do? It soothes the most fearful threefold agonies of the devotees. And the glance is not alone, it's combined with a smile. And it's full of grace. And this very famous verse. A yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Sri Hari. A smile which for all those who bow down to Him drives away a ocean of tears caused by intense grief. As we discussed earlier, it is a medicine. Prabhavushara Shokha Anubhirama. So this is the medicine. So, sweet medicine, benevolent smile, takes away the oceans of tears that is coming out. Then, the yogi should also maintain on the Lord's heart's eyebrows, which are manifested by His internal potency. And what does that eyebrow meditation do? That charms the sex god for the good of the sages. Hasam thare pamata akhila loka tigra sokasu sagara vishosana akti bhavam sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya Brumandalam Nikrite Magala Pradasya. Magala Pradasya is the Prabhupada puts in the word towards. So he protects the Muni Krite from the Magala Pradasya. So what should one do? One should meditate on the Brumandalam, past eyebrows of the Lord. Brumandalam Manikrite Magara Rajasya. So sons is the beauty of the Lord. And as Vishnu had pointed out, he attacked the brother gopis. We will conclude by looking at the description of the Lord's beauty when he enters to Vrindavan. This is a scene where the Lord enters Vrindavan, and after herding the cows, the world doesn't seem to load up. So the Lord is decorated with peacock feather, and he has got decorations from various kunja berries that are also decorated in his turban, and he is as if he is like a master dressed up nicely. He and Balaram, that whole description is there, and that enchants the gopis. As Vishnu points out, they start to imitate the Lord when the Lord gives the rasa dance. And as we saw earlier, it established clearly that every living entity is an expansion of the Lord. So the attraction of every living entity is ultimately to the Lord. And with that understanding, one has to see the attraction of married women to Lord Rishabhadev, and then the attraction of the gopis towards the Lord. Because we have clearly established the position of the Lord, and also the living entity's position, and we have seen the heart of the Lord and his external beauty and his different dealings with various devotees. So I conclude here and see if there are any questions you want to discuss.
Prabhu Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, my devotee never perishes, he declared boldly. My question is whether a devotee should think that he qualifies to get Krishna's mercy, or should he think that he is not qualified?
He is qualified to get Krishna's mercy or not. With the faith in the process, we perform devotional service with patience, enthusiasm, utsahanishchaya, dhairya. And that patience aspect is important so that we expect the mercy of the Lord and we continue devotional service. The confidence comes that the Lord will bestow mercy depends on how much we are following the instructions by the spiritual master. Based on that, we can come to a conclusion that to that extent I should be following, to that extent I will be confident of getting the mercy of the Lord, and at the same time I cannot demand it now, so I have to be patient. So to answer, we can be confident based on the instructions of Guru. By satisfying them, we can be confident, and we have to endeavor with patience. That patience helps us to not demand something instantly, and also helps us to continue with determination despite reversals. So one has to have that faith through the words of Guru, and then we follow the process. To that extent we can be confident of expecting the mercy of the Lord. Having said that, advanced devotees always pray and feel that they are not qualified and they don't do proper devotional service, they don't love Krishna, and that is, as I heard in one of the lectures of Vidyavanti Maharaj, the beauty of the bhakti process is that the more you have bhakti, the more you have that you won't have, you don't have bhakti. The more you have a grace, you will feel that you don't have a grace. The more you are qualified, you will feel that you are not qualified, you don't have it yet. But as practicing sadhakas, it is good to have that confidence and faith based on Guru's instruction. We follow that, we anticipate Lord's mercy. And we are worthy to the extent we are following Guru's instruction.
ग्रंथाश्रम भागवतम की जय।